With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, hello, I'm Pete Donaldson from WrestleMe, and you keen-eared listeners among you may have noticed that the back end of last week's show, we lost a little chunk, a little two-minute chunk, for no good reason, nothing but gremlins in the system, but the gremlins in the system have been rude awakened, Irish whipped, and body slammed within an inch of their stupid gremlin-y lives. So, here we are, back again, with the start of Wrestle Kingdom, the final part. Enjoy! That's me, Mark. Here he is, talking about the main event. It's good. He's good, isn't he? He's good.
I am not going to go... Oh, here's my interesting observations.
Right.
On perfection. Look, this is one of the, if not the... Is it the... It's one of, certainly at the time...
I'm settling in.
The greatest wrestling matches... that have ever taken place.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, I get a beer. This is the greatest match ever.
Come on.
Beautiful. Here we go. Now, are you ready to hear the heartwarming tale of the match between Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada?
I am.
Okay, let's do it. The year before this happened, Kenny Omega was not at all in this main event position.
Right.
He was a light heavyweight. He'd also famously throughout his career been a sort of comedy wrestler, most notably for the Japanese promotion DDT. Mm. When I say comedy wrestler, he was a wrestler who could really go, but he always liked a little bit of the fun side as well. And DDT is a promotion that very much lent towards that.
Is that when he wrestled a girl?
It is. Right. That's exactly it. He wrestled a 9-year-old girl named Haruka in 2011. The video of that match went viral. It made international news. He was roundly sort of castigated for it. He also received a lot of polarizing responses, including death threats as a result. Mick Foley had actually really praised the work. He said it was a really good sort of heel performance. And he said, why isn't this guy signed up by a big federation? You know, the guy's got a lot of skills. Amiga had actually said that, you know, he worked with Haruka. And the reason that he was asked to work with her in the first place was because he's notoriously a very safe pair of hands to work with.
Yeah.
And he personally trained her before their match. So when you sort of say, oh yeah, he wrestled a kid, and we've done this on as a wrestling
match
before.
Yes, we did. And it was I really enjoyed it. It was really good. The kid had a lovely time. She wanted a rematch recently.
She did, yes, that's right. Yeah, after this match, she got in contact with him and said, I think it's time for a rematch. Now, what you can see there is this sort of twin thing of Kenny Omega, which is the outward thing that a lot of people think about him. He's a goofball. You know, that he's
enjoying his life.
Exactly, you know.
How dare you?
Enjoying wrestling in the way that he believes it should be.
Yes.
And people are going, no, you're very wrong. What you can also see under that is you see that he's actually a brilliant wrestling mind. He's a really, really thorough pro. Mm. He is really interesting because he was the pick to be the person to replace AJ Styles in Bullet Club. AJ Styles, the leader of Bullet Club, he'd been main eventing your Wrestle Kingdoms, certainly in that semi-main event thing the year before. He had left to go to WWE. They had then said, right, we'll make Kenny Omega the leader of Bullet Club. People were like, oh, holy fucking shit, that is a dilution of star. You know, they've put Kenny Omega in that position. Okay, Bullet Club's all over.
Yeah.
He was a strange choice at the time. And immediately, he began having the best matches in the world. It was almost like He'd just been waiting all that time, and when the moment was right, he would go, and now I'm going to show you what I have known all this time.
Yeah.
He just needed that moment. Unlike a lot of the big gaijin stars who do well in Japan, with probably the exception of Prince Devitt, Finn Balor. Someone did get very cross about how I said, I called him Baylor.
But oh, right.
It's Finn Balor.
Finn
but
Balor.
I still say
it. I would say Finn Balor. I've always said Finn Balor when I say that red.
Like Finn Balor, he basically had no real body of American work,
yeah.
Which is sort of unusual. It made him a bit of an enigma. He debuted in 2000. He's from Canada.
Yeah.
And his real name is Tyson Smith. Amazing decision as a wrestler to change your name from Tyson to Kenny.
Yeah, Tyson Omega sounds better.
Doesn't it?
Kenny.
He signed with the WWE's then developmental system, Deep South Wrestling, after about 5 years of his career. And he asked for his release a year later. He stated his time in DSW was really poor. He said the promoters Bill DeMott and Jody Hamilton, who used to be the Masked Assassin. He also said the trainer Bob Holly. They were all really poor.
Right.
He did single out Squire David Taylor, an English wrestler. He said he was actually really good, which is sweet. So he came very close to signing, you know, basically he could have ended up in WWE in about 2008 in some shitty gimmick, and he would have done really poorly. But he's got his own sort of, you know, he might be a bit of a visionary. I think he was one of the first people to walk out on development and just go, I can do this a different way.
Yeah.
Everyone does that nowadays. Oh, it's cool. But at the
Kenny
time,
cool.
People are like, what are you walking out to? You know, the answer was not very much. He went into MMA in Canada.
Well, he's too friendly for MMA. He's too...
He did quite well, yeah. He had a good win-loss record, yeah.
What? Could I do it? Because,
well,
like...
Do you know what?
I just get the feeling that all of these friendly-looking men who do wrestling, who suddenly decide to do MMA...
Yeah.
They're too friendly looking.
All you need to do...
Kenny Omega doing a punch in someone's face. Knocking someone's block
all
off.
All you need to do is you need to make sure that the people you take on are drippier.
Right, okay,
Slightly in America. If you just sort of
little girls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, in MMA, you could sort of go, we're having a local MMA thing. But in America, that could mean, you know, there's no other towns around for 100 miles.
Yeah.
You're just the hardest bloke in your town. And it's one of those things, actually, no footage of his MMA fights exists. They were done very sort of small and regionally. But, you know, look, the fact he's doing it, even if he's, you know, just training, who knows about the high level. In fact, I think he did have one match which he lost, which was against someone insanely, like Dan Severn,
right,
who was a really famous pro wrestler and MMA fighter. And I think he lost that, but I think it was like, you know, that was like his second match or something.
Right.
So he's obviously got something going for
him.
Yeah. Although, that said, I could lose to Dan Severn very easily.
I'd do it quicker.
He was debating about whether or not to stay with MMA or keep going on wrestling.
Mm.
And part of the reason is wrestling has cosmetic demands. And MMA training, you don't, you know, get shredded.
Yeah.
You get strong. And so he had to make a decision as to which one he was doing, because you either have to train for MMA or you train for wrestling.
Yeah.
And he had a match with AJ Styles on a tiny regional promotion. And he thought that was really good. He thought, I think I might have a bit of potential. That was someone I've never worked with before, got nothing in common with.
Yeah.
And yet we had a match that was special. And so he began thinking, right, I'm going to keep on doing wrestling. He ends up going to, you know, through the independents, he goes to Ring of Honor. Again, nobody at any point goes, this guy, put a rocket under him. He is going to be huge. He's just there. He's sort of good, but nobody is ever like, you need to get into a title program really quickly. Everyone's just like, that Kenny Omega guy is here.
Mm.
In 2008, he moves to Japan to start working with DDT.
Mm.
A bit of comedy and wrestling they have there. So he forms a very good, but also sort of comedically homoerotic tag team called the Golden Lovers with Kota Ibushi,
right,
who is opening the Wrestle Kingdom show this year. He has his match against Haruka, which gets him sort of quite viral. From the same sort of period, 2010 to 2014, he's also coming back and doing independents. So he takes part in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in the USA, really at the time the cutting edge independent promotion, putting on the best matches in the world, largely based around the Young Bucks. He also starts making appearances regularly for New Japan. So they bring him in for small matches. He now has a Japanese citizenship.
Yeah.
He does speak fluent Japanese. Mm. He's also straight edge.
Oh, is he? Right.
Doesn't
okay.
bang on about it like some people,
no,
does he?
No, he doesn't.
Some grumpy people.
I enjoyed the fact, I was sort of really good on his recent kind of stuff. And he upset a lot of people by saying that the Japanese work ethic inside wrestling is very different because of that kind of collegiate almost system where you wait until you get your chance. A lot of the wrestlers are just waiting for their chance. Yeah. And he says that they don't work out as much. And to be honest, looking at this bill,
yeah,
the guys who are really cut, the guys who got the bodies, they ain't Japanese. The Japanese guys who are wrestlers, they're bigger. They are bigger than the average Japanese guy.
Yeah,
but they're not. You know, none of them have abs. You know, it's not like the American model. And so he sort of made the point. Look, I'm in the gym, and there's like. And they're all just Western stars who are in the gym with me. They're the ones who are working. And
it's
and
a funny thing.
And obviously, everyone said, racist, racist, racist. And he sort of said, well, look at everyone.
It's not racist, but certainly what it is, though, you see with that is it's never been a thing that's been big in Japanese wrestling. It's been big in international wrestling. You know, you have to look like a muscle man. In Japan, they don't care about how you look.
But
they
also,
care about what's inside.
Yeah,
Shinya Hashimoto, big fat guy, looked like a pile of shit compared to most other wrestlers. You would not find a more beloved, popular wrestler than Shinya Hashimoto. You know, it is a funny sort of cultural difference.
But also, the body shape of a wrestler is very different to any other body shape. You know, guys are skinny, you know, pot belly at most. But that kind of physicality is the strength that isn't a showy kind of strength. It's not the, you know, the creatine powder and the cutting.
That.
You're not cutting.
Completely that. You know, it's Kenny Omega is fascinating because until the year before this, That career that I've just read out, there were no highlights particularly. It's just you were here, you were there. Nobody has him pegged as being a main event star. Just nobody sees it. I mean, let alone saying, oh, in 2 years, he'll be the best wrestler in the world. I mean, and he really does. It's amazing how he becomes that. At Wrestle Kingdom 9, he wins the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship from Taguchi. He would lose that the following year at Wrestle Kingdom. He lost that to Kushida. So, again, you sort of like a year before he was losing to Kushida. Kushida is great, but this seems a very big leap from losing in a light heavyweight match to being in the main event of this caliber. He takes over, as I say, the Bullet Club, and a month later he beats Tanahashi for the IWGP Intercontinental title. So he's beaten one of the sort of legends already. He then becomes, in July 2016, the first non-Japanese wrestler to win the annual G1 tournament, which really sets up who is going to be the next massive star. That's where we are here. The additional storyline that they slightly put in is they notice that people all around the world are getting a bit more excited about New Japan than they imagined they would. They're excited about this Okada Omega match. Okada is coming off the back of an astonishing 3 years as a champion. Omega is putting in 2016, the best matches of certainly his career. And people are beginning to go, is he unbelievably good? Very, very quickly. The additional storyline is Omega saying, I want New Japan to be global. I want it to be really big. And you cannot do that with Okada in the front. Okada doesn't speak English. I'm bilingual. I will take New Japan to a new, exciting realm.
Yeah.
And what that is not a thing where you're going, that's a sort of exciting thing. I think for a lot of Japanese people watching, they would be going, don't like it. Don't mess with it. We don't want the rest of the world getting involved in it. So I think it sets it up slightly differently for two different audiences, which again is a really clever sleight of hand. As the Westerners, you're going, yeah, that'd be great. We can see more New Japan.
Yeah.
They're opening it up.
Yeah.
And as the Japanese, you're going, please don't win.
We're an island nation.
As the voiceover says, they say, New Japan in the world, it says, which I absolutely love.
New Japan Award. What was it?
In the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Lovely.
He says, I mean, you know, fucking hell. Fucking hell. Kenny Omega, just quickly, let's again back off.
Back off.
Back off the
back
perfection.
Off Mark.
His ring name, was originally inspired by the character Omega Weapon from the Final Fantasy video game series.
Yes, he's a big gamer, isn't he? Yeah.
His finishing maneuver, the One-Winged Angel, is a reference to Final Fantasy VII's Sephiroth.
Seven was kind of like the one that everyone in the West played. It was the first one that was like full motion video. It was exciting on the PlayStation 1. It got a re-release quite recently. But yeah, an astonishing bit of work. And I'm stealing astonishing from you again, Matt.
But, it's all I say.
But his Japanese is very street. It's very conversational. It doesn't sound like he's been in a classroom ever. It just sounds like he's just picked it up, which is an incredible bit of work.
You can slightly see that he is a delightful nerd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's into wrestling, he's into computer games, and he loves Japan. You know, if you said, there's a guy I know, he's into wrestling, video games, and Japan, he speaks fluent Japanese.
It's about that, man. It's a fucking Pete.
You bring him out and you go, who's this fucking muscly Adonis? Is this a fucking wind-up?
Has he got a Japanese love pillow? Yeah. And the pillow loves him.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you describe?
We can't do four episodes.
Mona Lisa, right? It's brown hair. Standing, it's all got half a smile on.
Yeah,
Italian bird, isn't it? You know it is consistently perfect. This match, it is every single moment builds. There's not a wasted moment. There's not a mistimed moment, and every single moment leads just building and building to the next one, and it goes up in a perfect pitch of build. It's just magic.
Every scary spot where someone looks like they've really hurt themselves, you've earned it.
Oh, completely.
It doesn't come out of nowhere.
Completely. It makes sense. It is properly tense and exciting. It is two people who uniquely, at that moment, there was no one better than Okada and Kenny Omega. And in one of those really rare things, you just manage to get them to cross career paths at the right time. All of those unlikely things that have made Kenny Omega in this main event a year ago that all seemed mad, you know, make him the leader of Bullet Club, let him have this match with beat Tanahashi, win the G1. All of that has led, and it seemed it just didn't seem like it made sense until you get here where you go, any one of those things were different, we wouldn't have this. And this match is just, it's divine. There's a divine power that has pushed it together. Absolutely worth saying as well. I mean, you know, we've got to this point, and there was, the two of them had never faced each other before. That again is really lucky.
Okay.
They built it for 5 months. We had this perfect, you know, it was so ready when it happened there. The general feeling beforehand was that this match had too much pressure on it, too much weight of expectation. Mm. And whatever they did, it was going to be a disappointment. Stick that up your ass. Stick it up your ass. They came out with the single best pro wrestling match that certainly I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I watched this the night after. And by that point, people were going, it's unbelievable.
Mm.
And even watching it with that knowledge, it's unbelievable. Nothing prepares you for the first time you see this match.
Yeah.
To see how wrestling can be done when it's at just the very, very highest level by the two highest level performers of their era. And they have, I suppose you're going to have to say, they had a certain amount of fucking jammy luck that everything was just as perfect as it was.
Yeah.
But honestly, this match, you cannot sicken. You cannot tire of it.
Mm.
Nature, time cannot stale its infinite variety. Shakespeare, he wrote that about Cleopatra. He had not seen Omega Akada. Right? If he had, do you know what he'd done, Pete? He'd have torn his little quill up and he'd have gone, what's the point?
What is the point?
What is the point?
What is
when,
the point?
When perfection lies before your eye, or whatever he'd say.
He might have kind of reduxed Terminator. You might have, I mean, it's inexplicable.
Oh, Christ,
inexplicable.
Yeah.
The
in
whole
amongst my thing that I was saying how beautiful this was, I forgot that, and it's shit. And he basically comes out with nothing on at one point in a video, in an alleyway.
Yeah, he asks a man to, you know, give me your clothes, and you give me all your clothes, and the guys go, oh, fucking weirdo. And it's so cheesy. And he comes out with a Terminator mask and a shotgun. And he peels off. I've never seen like it looks such, like such a cheap mask. I thought it was plastic, but it's like a rubber kind of thing. And he peels it off,
mm-hmm.
and it's awful. It's awful,
yeah.
But it's still the great. You would any other match, you'd be like, oh, it's a shame about that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not a shame. It's greater than the sum of it.
Do you know what I sometimes think with that? Where he comes out with that is you sort of go, what he is doing here is he's going, I'm only human. what you are going to see coming up. You will think, not believe it.
Yeah, you will think I'm a Terminator man.
But look
you
at this. I've had to make my own costume a bit. And I'm not perfect. I've not been able to do it. I can't do it all.
I've gone down to Tokyo Hands.
Yeah.
I've gone down to the 100 yen shop and bought a really cheap bit of shit.
Yes.
I like when the Young Bucks go there. Do, 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 do.
It's great. That's They're really
cool.
into
that was
it.
Cool.
They're really into it. And yeah. I mean, there is a bit where he goes through a table, which is the single greatest table shot. You know, going through a table at ringside. Think how many times you've seen that. Think how many times you've actually gone, that was fucking great. When he does it in this, he is backdropped. He just soars through the air. And even that, even to sort of go, not only is it one of the best, you know, the best match of all time. Not only is it the best match on the biggest stage and the biggest night of our calendar.
Yeah.
I also did a table shot that was better than anything you've ever seen. And nobody will talk about that because the rest of it is important. I understand that.
Mm.
All I'm saying is, when I do a table shot, you know, through the thing, like you've seen a million times, it will be the best one you've ever seen.
It's
and all of this match will just be the greatest.
There's a springboard moonsault over the guardrail.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't know how half of these things were done where you've got Western wrestlers and Japanese wrestlers, because you've got to call a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, this guy speaks Japanese, so it's absolutely fine on this occasion. But I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, how do you know when things are going to happen and in the heat of it all?
It's
and,
mad, isn't
and,
it?
And, you know, it's not his first language, Japanese. So he's presumably calling all his shots in Japanese and to this guy. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's insane. Also, I mean, totally worth saying, and I think, you know, the Kenny Omega Okada series, people always go, Okada is great, but you're like, Omega is so amazing.
Yeah.
Okada is so good in
yeah.
this. So good. Mm. Timing, psychology, big moves. It's just fucking thrilling. It's so thrilling. It's so, when people, you know, again, and this is an imaginary thing, but people going, you know, pro wrestling's fake, isn't it? You're just like, if you can watch that and not go, that was fucking brilliant, then, you know, there is no hope for you. You're just a fucking dildo. It's unbelievable. Wrestling Observer gives it 6 stars. It breaks their scoring system.
Yeah.
It's only ever been 5 stars before. He said that Omega and Okada may have put on the greatest match in pro wrestling history. I don't think you can argue that.
Mm.
They do go on that summer to have an even better one.
Really?
They
wow.
do, yeah. And this time, you know, I don't even actually want to say what happens in this match. And I know we've joked before about we don't give away results, like, you know, it's pathetic. But in a weird way, I don't even want to say, because if you haven't seen this match, again, to get to watch it, you're fucking lucky. It's just it's just thrilling. Someone goes, it's the greatest wrestling match of all time. And you're like, well, that's open to... It's fucking not. Because I watched it again last night and I watched it today. And it is just... It's just... just phenomenal.
He's sort of I like the table shot where he goes to the table, but it's sort of, he sort of munches the table with his body,
yeah,
in that there's still a bit of wood for him to crack his head, and I was thinking that could have gone
could have died.
And when and at the end where they administer my beloved ice pack, he moves it underneath his head because it's clearly fucking still ringing. But he still manages to continue and produce something very special.
It's amazing. I actually watched it today, and for the first time, I began thinking, am I ever going to see as good as a match of this for the rest of my life? Because, you know, look, I'm 44. I've been into wrestling since I was 12.
Mm.
That is 32 years it's taken to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to have to wait another 32 and then there might not be another one? But, I'll be nearly 80.
In the dying embers of the match, not dying embers, but, heading towards the end, the crescendo, the Japanese commentators look shocked.
Yeah.
They look absolutely, I don't know how to describe
this. Yeah, completely. I mean, it is, if you had to say you can only watch one match for the rest of time, you've seen them all now, but you can keep one. I mean, it'd be hard not to be that one. I tell you what, the other thing about it is 46 minutes and 45 seconds.
What, as in the whole thing?
That match.
Oh, I thought it was shorter than that.
It's the longest in the history of the Tokyo Dome shows.
I thought the whole thing was 25 minutes.
Oh, no.
I've been misinformed by Wikipedia.
46 minutes and 45, and with the entrances, it's an hour and 10.
Oh, really?
You would, if someone said to you, it's a three quarter of an hour wrestling match, you'd be like, I am not going to watch that.
Yeah.
And you went, well, what if it felt like it lasted 16? I'll give it a go.
One of those, I wrote down all of the moves because I don't know any of them. And I can only ever remember the words Irish whip for some reason. The greatest of all the moves. There's a missile drop kick that he does to the back of Okada's head.
Yeah.
Which is fucking incredible.
It's like JFK. It's like back and to the left. And rough. It is rough.
Women are in tears at the end.
Mm.
Incredible.
It's got everything. There is nothing that you could say could be improved on.
Keep kind of reversing the tombstones and stuff. And that's always in the locker. That's going to happen. I'm not going to say how it goes, but fuck yes.
Amazing. New Japan do this. This match really explodes things for them internationally.
Right.
People are just like, we can't get enough of it. Everybody loves and loves and loves and loves it. In the summer of 2017, they announced that they're doing a US tour and they basically book out tiny venues because they're like, probably no one will come. Sell out instantly, immediately.
Yeah.
Next time they go back, they're in Madison Square Garden. So, they've really have a thing. But what happens the following year is they realize how important Wrestle Kingdom is and how important Kenny Omega is to the international audience. And so they begin to go, okay, let's see if we can gear it less away from our traditional Japanese fans. And let's also have an eye on the international audience that we have. So the following year's WrestleMania, of course, they will bring in Chris Jericho. And that match with Kenny Omega will be a real one that explodes their popularity across the world. So this is so important, this bit. There's so many bits that are happening here. This is New Japan realizing that they can open up and bring their product to the world. When it's product like that, I mean, how could you not want to see it? I have a little present for Peter.
Oh, Marky Mark.
It's not little Peter, present. Unfortunately.
Oh, no.
No. But I have for you an Okada dollar that came down from the roof of the Tokyo Dome.
He was throwing them on the fire in the VT. Incredible.
That was bought.
A 1 million yen. I guess it's dollars, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is confusing.
That was bought from the official NJPW online shop when they were selling off a Okada dollars.
Lovely. This note is legal tender. What?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have that on it.
No, it's fine. It says it. So people in shops will be like, who is this? This looks like Monopoly money. Fuck them. It says on it, it's legal
this
tender.
This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, from Naoki Shigeyabashi The treasurer of New Japan. I'm not sure.
Let me see how much is it for?
$100,000.
$100,000. Yeah. If you have any debts,
what have you got for a million?
Take. Well, because they don't want to bankrupt New Japan.
No, if everyone redeems them, they're coming down on the ceiling. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Who is your favourite? Having watched that, which wrestler were you like? That is my favourite wrestler.
Uzu Pavelo was dressed like him out of Battle of the Future.
Yeah, Kushida.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. Him or what's his name? Burger. What's his name? No.
Burger.
Hamburger. Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Patrick Burger, the Liverpool flair. Yeah.
Good. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. I must admit, you know, look, I was worried about this. I think we've had fun.
We have had fun.
But.
Have the listeners had fun?
Who cares? Yeah. But I think the problem with it is difficult when it's just, you're just going, that was good too.
Yeah, oh, that was good too. That was good again.
That was good too.
Yeah. Good. Someone was racist. Someone on the commentary team was racist. Good.
There was a little bit there where I think I saw a winky. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
I can smell a fart. Oh, it's me. It's me watching it.
I want to go to bed. That's something I was thinking a lot when I was tired and watching it. I mean, it does teach me a lesson about the problem is when it's too good,
it's too good. It's too good. It's really hard to describe.
I mean, wrestling does need to also be a bit shit.
Yes, you know, it does.
It would be nice if there was a bit more shit.
Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleMe and enjoy me and Mark talking about
WCW.
A shit show.
Yeah. By the time this one goes out, I think we probably will have finished off Starrcade 91. Mm. But it is worth saying that is a perfect example of what happens when you get a load of bad gimmicks together with a load of people who can't improvise. It's like the opposite of New Japan. It's going to be amazing. Hey, look, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We do have a Patreon, of course, which you can get. There's loads of stuff there. There's absolutely hours.
Yes.
And because of the sort of flawed way in which Patreon works, if you join now, you just get access to all of it. It's absolutely sickening.
Why are you so angry about that?
Because everyone else is really loyal.
Yeah.
How do we respond to loyal? Do you know what it's like? It's like a successful person with a wife, and as soon as they become famous, you know, then they treat her like shit. That's horrible.
Oh, right. Okay. So they were the backbone.
They are our loyal Patreon wives. You know, and yet look at us cavorting around with all the new ones.
Yes, exactly.
So young and fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, disgusting. I hate our old Patreon wives.
I love them. No, new Patreon
No, love them, love them, of course.
No,
yeah,
you love
them,
the new...
Love
them. No, you hate the new ones and you like the old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all blown away, both equally.
Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle Kingdom.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.